and to encourage you in a very simple message this morning. We're going to start together in Romans chapter 8, if you want to turn over there this morning. But I've got just a lot of scripture to share with you and just a very simple message to encourage you in your walk and in your spiritual journey. You know, there's a passage of scripture in 2 Peter where Peter makes the point. He says, as long as I'm alive, as long as I am here in this earthly dwelling, I count it right to stir your heart by way of reminder. And Peter knew that as people in the world every day, even in his generation, people were facing various tests and trials and problems and things that they were going through in life, and that the devil would use all of those things to try to capture their imagination and draw them away from God. And how many of you know the devil hadn't learned anything new? He still does the same thing with us today. And that the things that we face every day in life, difficulties, hard times, even good times, the devil will try to use anything that he can to capture our imagination and to pull us away from God. Do you realize today that God doesn't, the devil doesn't care whether you prosper or whether you don't, you know, whether you're sick or whether you're healthy or whatever. The devil doesn't care anything about you, okay? And if whatever's going on in your life, if he can use that to capture your heart and your imagination and your mind and turn you away from God, that's all he cares about. See? And if prosperity will do it, he doesn't care if you prosper. If having the best and all those kind of things will do it, he doesn't care if you have the best. As long as he can turn you away from God. And it's why the Bible has so much to say about the necessity of being spiritually minded. The necessity of continually focusing ourselves on spiritual things and on God and godly things and realizing and remembering that even though we can't see it with our natural eyes, that God is here and God is with us and the spirit realm is real. And we need to be aware of all of these things. And so this morning, I just want to share a very simple message to just remind you and encourage you today and your walk with the Lord. Because sometimes we do go through things, and particularly the difficult things and the bad things. We can go through some things, and sometimes we can actually come to the place where we think, I'm not sure God cares about me. Or if he once did, I think God must have forgotten about me. Because things just aren't going the way I thought they would go or the way I thought God promised they would go in my life. And so this morning, I just want to encourage you this morning that God cares about you. And I want you to understand today that in every circumstance, everything that we go through, the ultimate intention for God in those circumstances is to grow you up, to make you a stronger person, to make you a better person, and ultimately to give you victory in everything that you go through. You know, Paul would write to us in 2 Corinthians, and he would say, in the first chapter, he would say, thanks be to God who always causes us to triumph in Christ Jesus. Who always causes us to triumph. Because it was never the intention of God that we would win some and lose some. Most of us are happy with that. But that's not the way God ever intended it for it to be in our lives. God created us to be winners. And he wants us to be winners. And he wants us to always be victorious. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory. That's the theme of our church from 1 Corinthians 15. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. And God wants us to be victorious so that our lives might bring glory and honor to him in every circumstance and in every way. And God cares about us today. God cares about you today. And as we continue to pursue the Lord and keep our faith in him no matter what, I believe God wants to do great things in our life. Let me just remind you this morning how God cares about us. Let's go over to Matthew chapter 6. We looked at this passage last week, I believe, when we were talking about putting Jesus first in our life. But let's just read it again. And let's see together this morning how God cares about more than just the spiritual you. God cares about the natural you, the physical you, the emotional you, the social you, the married you. God cares about you. Wherever you are, whatever arena your life happens to be moving in, God cares about you. We read this passage last week from Matthew chapter 6 that tells us that God cares about us and the natural things that we need even in this lifetime. Verse 25. Jesus is speaking here and he says, I say to you, do not be worried about your life as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, that they do not sow, nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? The birds don't worry about where the next meal is coming from. They just find it. God provides it. They enjoy it. And that's the way God wants us to live our lives. Who of you by being worried can add a single hour to his life? And why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you that not even Solomon in all of his glory. And I can't read that verse of scripture without being reminded that Solomon was the wealthiest man that there was. Solomon had more gold and silver than anybody in history. And if anybody wanted to clothe himself with the very best, it was Solomon. And Jesus tells us here that not even Solomon clothed himself like the lilies of the field, but he didn't stop there. He says in verse 30, if God so loves the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you? Solomon, with all that he had and provided and could have done for himself, God provided more for the lilies, and God wants to provide even more for you. That's awesome. That's awesome. There's a greater glory that God has in store for you and I who follow the Lord Jesus Christ. God wants to meet our needs, and he doesn't want us to be worrying about anything. Verse 31, do not worry then, saying, what will we eat? Or what will we drink? Or what will we wear for clothing? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all of these things. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all of these things. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added to you. I'm not sure I'm at that point in my spiritual journey where the things of God are just, I'm just walking so closely with God that the things that I need are just added to me. Every now and then I find myself worrying about how we're going to pay for the next whatever. You know, and here we come into the winter season and now the electric bill's going to go up. And now we've got to have a little more money to pay for that. Goodness gracious. God wants us to walk in such a place of fearlessness and faith that we don't worry about anything like that, knowing that God is going to provide for us because God cares about us. Look over at 1 Peter chapter 5. Lots of scripture. Get your fingers ready. 1 Peter chapter 5. And let's just look for now at verses 6 and 7. Now, here's the key in verse 6. Here's the key in order to experience that blessing and favor of the Lord on your life. He says in verse 6, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. Humble yourselves under the hand of God. Submit yourself to the Lord. Admit. This is hard for us, especially guys. Admit that you can't make it on your own. You can't provide it for yourself. You're going to need some help getting through life. Humble yourself. Tell God so. And give yourself to God. And let him make that provision in your life. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time, casting all of your anxiety or your cares on him, because he cares for you. God cares about us. God cares about us right now. He cares about us in the good times, and he cares about us especially in the tough times and in the hard times. And let me just say to you today, if you don't see the manifest care of the Lord happening in your life today, understand it's not because God isn't doing anything to provide for you. If you don't see anything happening, it just simply means that God is working in ways that you don't understand, and possibly simply in a realm that you cannot see, in order to orchestrate things and to bring things where they need to be for that provision to come into your life. There's a beautiful picture of that in the Old Testament book of Nehemiah. I won't take the time to read any of the scripture over there for you today. But the book of Nehemiah is a beautiful picture of how God works behind the scenes in order to restore and rebuild the walls of our lives. The book of Nehemiah is actually about the restoration of the city of Jerusalem. The children of Israel had forsaken God, and true to his word, listen, God's true to his word, good and bad. And when they forsook the Lord, God said, if you forsake me, I'll scatter you to the nations of the earth. And by golly, you know that's exactly what he did. When they forsook God, he scattered them to the nations of the earth. And Nehemiah is standing in exile, and he's standing before the king, and he's a cupbearer to the king. And news comes to him of Jerusalem and how the walls are just all torn down, and the people are feeling great anxiety and deep hopelessness, and the walls of the city being torn down, people can come and go and do whatever they want, and the thieves can come in and steal what belongs to the people, and they have no protection over them whatsoever, and things are just hard for the people of Jerusalem. And here's Nehemiah, he's standing before the king, he's providing, the cupbearer for the king, he's providing for the king, and you know, his needs are met. But he hears about Jerusalem and his heart breaks over the way the people in Jerusalem are having to live. And he goes before the king and he asks the king permission to go back to Jerusalem and to begin to rebuild the walls there. And there's so much to the story that I could tell. It's a beautiful story. Maybe we need to study Nehemiah again. But Nehemiah, and watch this, the name Nehemiah means this: Jehovah is comforter. The comforter. Do you know of anybody else in the Bible who's called the comforter? It's the Holy Spirit, isn't it? Nehemiah, brother and sister, is a picture of the Holy Spirit. He's a picture of the way the Holy Spirit works in our lives. Nehemiah is going to rebuild the walls of the city of Jerusalem and restore the city. And what he does is a picture of how the Holy Spirit works in our lives to restore our hearts and restore and strengthen our lives and reestablish us in a walk with God. Nehemiah goes back to the city, and the people don't know why he's there. And the Bible says that at night, Nehemiah would get out and he would walk around the city walls and he would look at all the devastation that had taken place there. And he would begin to plan what needed to be done in order to rebuild the walls of the city. But you know what? The people didn't know what Nehemiah was up to because they were asleep while he was doing it. Nehemiah was working at a time when nobody was watching and nobody could see what he was doing. But how many of you know just because they couldn't see what he was doing doesn't mean Nehemiah wasn't doing anything? Brother and sister, just because you can't see what the Holy Spirit is doing today doesn't mean he's not doing anything. I promise you the Holy Spirit is working in ways that you don't understand and in a realm in which you cannot see. And he's working today to solve the issues of your life because God cares for you. God cares about all of us. God cares about us corporately. God cares about us individually. You know, sometimes it's easy. We listen to that voice of the enemy so many times and so often. It's very easy for us to sometimes think, well, you know, I know that God cares about other people. And I see what God does in other people's lives. But I'm just not convinced that God really cares for me. And there's some beautiful stories in the Bible of how God cares for individuals. For example, there's the story of are you familiar with the story of the madman of Gadara in Luke chapter 8, the demoniac? But if you read the context of that story, you find out that Jesus went all the way across the lake in order to minister to that one man and then got back in the boat and went back to where he came from. Jesus went all of that way, out of his way, to minister to one person because he cares for the one. Jesus cares for the multitudes, but Jesus cares for the one, and Jesus cares for you. And Jesus cares for me today. I think about the man at the pool of Bethesda in the Bible. And how Jesus in John chapter 5, Jesus goes to the sheep gate at the gate of Jerusalem where they would bring the sheep into the city. And there's a pool of Bethesda there and people would lay there and they believed that an angel would stir the water and the first one in could get. And Jesus knew that all these sick people were there. And Jesus went to that pool. And he finds one man, and he says to one man, he says, would you be made well? Would you like to be made well? And the man says, I don't have anybody to help me into the pool. I'm crippled, and when the water stirs, I can't get there in time. Somebody always beats me in, and I can't get what I need. And Jesus, as much as says to that man, he says, I'll be your help. I'll be your man. And he looks at the man and he says, take up your pallet and walk. And the man is instantly healed, rolls up his mat and walks off. And Jesus leaves. Jesus went there with one man on his mind and healed that man, because Jesus cares about the one as well as the multitude, as well as the many. I think about the story of the believers. Open this for me, babe. In Acts chapter 8 is the story of the church and the first persecution that breaks out against the church. And it's by a man by the name of Saul of Tarsus. And Saul is wrapped in the church, and he's arresting believers, and he's dragging them in to be thrown into jail and even to be sentenced to death and all of these things. And by the way, this is my opinion. Do what you want to with it. We look at Saul of Tarsus and we see Jesus shows up and meets him on the road to Damascus and reveals himself in blinding glory to Saul of Tarsus. Knocks Saul to the ground. Saul would be led into the city of Damascus, where a man by the name of Ananias would come in and witness to him, lay hands on him and get him healed again, and then baptize him. And Saul would become a believer in the very Lord that he persecuted. But I want you to notice that when Saul was persecuting the believers and Jesus showed up, and I believe with all my heart, I believe that Jesus showed up in Saul's life at that moment, and it wasn't so much to save Saul as it was to protect his church. Saul was persecuting his church, and Jesus said, enough is enough. And he met Saul on the road to Damascus. And I want you to hear what Jesus said. Jesus said, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Listen to that. Brother and sister, Jesus takes it personally when his church is persecuted and his children are attacked. Jesus takes it very personally. He didn't say, why are you persecuting believers? Why are you persecuting the church? He said, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Saul begins to persecute the church and believers begin to scatter. Philip is a deacon. He goes to Samaria. He begins to preach the gospel. Miracles are breaking out all over the place. He's got a great crusade going on there, and God's doing wonderful things in ministry with the people of Samaria there. And in the midst of this great campaign, this great crusade, God calls Philip and gets his attention and says, Philip, I want you to leave this successful venture you've got going over here. And I want you to go down to a street, to the road on its way from Jerusalem to Gaza, because there's one man that's looking for me, and I want you to tell him about me. And Philip left that successful crusade and went down to that road to find one Ethiopian eunuch, because God loves the multitude, but God loves the individual too. And God loves those people, and God loves us people, and God loves you. Guys, God loves you today. God cares about you today. And God has not forgotten about you. Sometimes we think, hey, there's 7 billion on this planet now. Surely every now and then one slips through the cracks. God overlooks them. No. God knows where each and every one of us are. God loves us. And he cares about us, and he's not forgotten about us. In Luke chapter 12, let me read a couple of verses for you here. Just a couple of verses real quick. Luke chapter 12. Where do I want to start? Let's just look at verses 6 and 7. Jesus says, are not five sparrows sold for 2 cents? In other words, look at that. Are not five sparrows sold for 2 cents? What's his point there? Sparrows, they're not worth very much. Okay? His whole point of making that statement is, these things aren't worth very much. But look at what it says next. Yet not one of them is forgotten by God. They may look like they don't have any value whatsoever to you, but they've got value to God, and He remembers every one of them. I know sometimes we think we don't have any value, and there's nothing that we've got that's worth anything, and there's nothing that we can do for God. But listen, first of all, you're wrong. But second of all, and most importantly, no matter what you think of yourself, God counts you as special, and God values you, and God treasures you, and He cares about you, and He's not forgotten of you. Verse 7, indeed, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear. You are more valuable than many sparrows. The hairs, how many of you know how many hairs are on your head? You do not. Some of us have less than we used to. I acknowledge that. But we still don't know how many that is. But God knows. God knows. And if God can count the hairs of your head, He can find you in the midst of 7 billion. And He can take care of you. God has not forgotten you. Look at Isaiah chapter 49. And verses 13 through 16. Isaiah 49, 13 through 16. Shout for joy, O heavens, and rejoice, O earth. Break forth into joyful shouting, O mountains. For the Lord has comforted His people and will have compassion on His afflicted. But Zion said, the Lord has forsaken me. And the Lord has forgotten me. Can a woman forget her nursing child and have no compassion on the son of her womb? Even these may forget, but I will not forget you. Behold, I have inscribed you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are continually before me. God says, I'll never forget you. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Just as a parent always remembers his child, God always remembers us. And God always has a plan for us. God doesn't forget about us. I know sometimes we might think that God does. Don't you think? Don't you suppose if anybody was ever felt like God had forgot about them, it would have been Joseph in the Old Testament? Don't you imagine? Let's remember that he's just a human being, okay? Let's don't deify these guys of the Bible. They're human beings just like we are. And here's a guy that God said to this young teenage boy, God says to this young teenage boy, he says, I'm going to make a ruler out of you. And your whole family is going to bow down to you one day. Now, I'll have to admit, I question the wisdom of Joseph in telling his brothers that. I mean, if you know the story of Joseph and his brothers, Joseph has 10 older brothers. They're all from different mothers. And Joseph is his father's favorite son. And dad makes no bones about it. And the Bible makes it clear that his 10 older brothers despised him because of it. In other words, they already didn't like the kid. And then the kid shows up one day and says, God's going to cause me to rule over all of you guys. And one day you're all going to bow to me. You can imagine how the siblings must have felt toward little Joseph that day. If ever they wanted to just beat the daylights out of him, it would have been then. In fact, that's just about what they did. That's just about what they did. For they caught him one day when they were out pasturing the sheep. And they threw him into a pit. And then they sold him into slavery into Egypt. And you got to know that Joseph was tempted to think, this is just not the way things are supposed to be going in my life. I saw the trajectory going this way, and instead it's going this way. What's wrong with this picture, God? He's a human being. You got to know, he wondered, has God forgotten about me? He gets to Egypt, and he becomes a servant in Potiphar's house, but Potiphar's wife falsely accuses him of attempted rape, and now he winds up in jail for a couple of years. He's in jail for a couple of years. He runs into a couple of the workers for Pharaoh and interprets their dreams and supposes that he's going to be getting out of jail pretty quickly because of that. And they forget all about Joseph and leave him in jail for two more years. You got to know, he must have thought, God, have you forgotten about me? But the Bible tells us that in spite of all that Joseph went through, he kept believing in the Lord. He kept trusting in God. He kept pursuing the Lord. And as a result of his attitude toward God, God would eventually raise him up, fulfill the promise, and make him ruler over Egypt, and indeed see his brothers come and bow down before him. I'm telling you, brother and sister, listen, God was working in a way that Joseph had no idea it was God. And yet it was still God at work, fulfilling his plan and keeping his promise to Joseph. And no matter what you're going through today, I guarantee you, if you'll keep believing, if you'll keep seeking, and if you'll keep pursuing God, God will fulfill his promise in your life. It may not be going the way that you think it ought to be going right now, but the time will come when God will break through in your life and give you victory. Just keep believing and trusting in the Lord. Look at Psalm 8 with me real quick. God cares about us. He has not forgotten about us. And in his care, God will visit us and manifest his glory to us. I love this psalm. Psalm 8 is a psalm written by David. And I don't know why, but I've always imagined, and when I read this psalm, I always imagine, you know, David was a shepherd. And I always imagine that when David wrote this psalm, it was like maybe a warm summer's evening, and he's sitting out in the pasture on the hillside, and he's looking at the sheep, and the sun sets and the stars begin to come out, and he is just sitting there, and he's in awe of the creation of God and all that he sees around him and the glory of everything that's there. And he writes this psalm, Psalm 8, it says this, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth, who have displayed your splendor above the heavens. From the mouth of infants and nursing babes, you have established strength or ordained praise, other scriptures say, because of your adversaries, to make the enemy and the revengeful cease. When I consider your heavens and the works of your fingers, the moon, the stars, which you have ordained, what is man that you take thought of him? You ever felt that way? Have you ever just sat and just looked at creation and just realizing the magnitude of what it is that you're looking at and just become overwhelmed with awe of the Creator who literally, listen guys, spoke that into being. Let there be, and there was. How awesome is that? And that's the God and Creator that we serve. And it's so easy when we begin to think about it to just get caught up in amazement and in awe at the God who is our Creator and yet also the one who loves us and cares about us. What is man that you take thought of him? With all that you have created, what is puny little man that you take thought of him, and the Son of Man that you care for him? And the word care means this. It means to visit out of care. In other words, because he cared, he acted in a certain way. We separate a lot of times. We separate thoughts and emotions and feelings from actions and things like that. But did you know it's not that way in the Bible? When the Bible talks about faith in the Bible, it talks about faith, but it couples with faith the idea of obedience. an action to the Lord. That's why James tells us that faith without works is dead. In other words, faith that doesn't have a corresponding action really isn't faith at all. Faith and works go hand in hand, in other words, he's telling us. Because we believe, we will do certain things. Because we love, we will act a certain way. Because God cares, he will get involved in our lives. God never created us with the intention of being passive and sitting back and watching our lives sail by. His intention was always to be intimately involved in the daily activities of our lives, watching over us, caring for us, meeting our needs, being there for us, protecting us, doing whatever it was that we needed. God has always wanted to be there for us and to care for us in those ways. And he visits us because he cares for us. Yet you have made him a little lower than God, and you crown him with glory and majesty. You make him rule over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, also the beasts of the field, the birds of the heavens, the fish of the sea, whatever passes through, passes the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. God visits us out of care for us. How many of you understand? That's the message of the cross. That's the message of the cross, brother and sister. It's because he cares for us that he sent his son to die at Calvary for us there. His care and his actions go hand in hand. It's because he cares. He moves to act on our behalf and to make provision for us, beginning with the cross and then by the Spirit, whatever else he desires for us in this life. Look at Isaiah chapter 43. I need to move on here. I want you to notice something about the care of the Lord. Now, there's some people that teach and sometimes mislead in their teaching, Isaiah chapter 43, to make us think that when we come to Jesus, then life is going to be great after that. We're never going to have any more problems and things are going to be smooth and everything's going to be wonderful. The Bible makes no such promise. In fact, I want you to read with me in Isaiah chapter 43 and verses 1, 2, and 3. Isaiah 43 verse 1 says, "But now, thus says the Lord your Creator, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, and you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they will not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be scorched, nor will the flame burn you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I have given Egypt as your ransom, Cush and Seba in your place." Notice how God takes things personally in this passage of Scripture and cares about us personally. He says, "I am your Creator." He doesn't say, "I am the Creator." He says, "I am your Creator. I am your Savior. I am your Redeemer. And you, you're mine. You belong to me." How many of you know that you're responsible for what belongs to you? And when God says, "You belong to me," he's claiming his own, but he's making a promise. "Because you are mine, I will take care of you." That's pretty awesome stuff, isn't it? That the Creator of the universe would say, "You're mine. I'm taking care of you. Just keep trusting. Keep pursuing." God says, "I care about you." This was written about 700 years or so before Christ. It wasn't too many years before a couple of guys actually experienced that fiery furnace. God says, "When you pass through the fire, it won't bother you." And several years later, there were three Jewish fellows that found themselves in a fiery furnace in Babylon. And when they refused to bow down to the pagan king, the king tied them up, threw them into the fiery furnace. But when he looked, the Bible says he saw four people walking around in the fire. Walking around loose in the fire. All of them loose. And when they came out, Daniel chapter 3 tells us, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, their hair was not singed. Their trousers were not burned, neither was there the smell of smoke on these guys. Having walked through the fire, God walked through it with them, and they came out victorious on the other side. Brother and sister, that's the promise of God. That's the care of the Lord. And God cares about all of us, and He will walk through the fire with us. Talked about Paul a little while ago. Paul had what he called a thorn in the flesh. He defines it, by the way, as a messenger of Satan, that the devil had sent to buffet him, to torment him, to aggravate him. And the Bible says that Paul went to God three times over that thorn, and he said, God, please take this away from me. You ever pray for God? God, please take this problem away. Do something about this problem. And God told Saul, told Paul, three times Paul came, and God told Paul, I'm not going to take away the problem, but here's what I'm going to do, Paul. I'm going to give you a grace that's greater than the problem. And Paul said, therefore, I will gladly rejoice in my weaknesses, because when I am weak, then God fills me with His ability and gives me grace to endure, survive, and even overcome the problems that I face in life. Look at 2 Timothy with me real quick. God cared for Saul of Tarsus, brought him into the kingdom. And then God cared for Paul, the apostle, and provided for his needs and delivered him from all of his adversaries. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 4. And verses 16 through 18. Paul says, at my first defense, no one supported me, but all deserted me. May it not be counted against them. But, he says in verse 17, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, so that through me the proclamation might be fully accomplished, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was rescued out of the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil deed, and will bring me safely to His heavenly kingdom. To Him be the glory forever and ever. Paul says, every test, every trial, every opportunity that the devil took to bring persecution against me, to try to defeat me, try to turn me away from God, God was there with me at every step of the way, and the Lord was there with me to strengthen me, to enable me to endure, to face the problem, and to live through it, and survive it, and be victorious over it in the end. And He delivered me every time out of the lion's mouth. Brother and sister, God cares about you today. And whatever test or trial you're going through in your life today, God is there for you. Whether you see Him or whether you don't, He is there for you. Why? Because He loves you and He cares about you. He cared for Paul. He cared for Daniel. He cared for Joseph. He cared for the three in the fiery furnace. And God cares about you, and God cares about me. And if you and I will continue to seek the Lord and continue to believe no matter what, and continue to pursue the Lord at just the right time, God will bring breakthrough in your life and give you victory for His glory's sake. And the reason He does it is because God cares for each and every one of us. Father, thank You today that You do indeed care. You do call us by name, and You have not forgotten any of us. Father, sometimes when we go through the things of life and things get hard, Father, it is tempting to us to think that You've forgotten about us, that somehow You've overlooked us, and maybe even, God, You don't care about us. But Father, we know that Your word is true. And we choose to believe what You have spoken to us through the Scriptures and the many promises that You have made to us, that you will never leave us, you will never forsake us, and indeed, you have not forgotten about us, and you still care for us. I pray, Father, that we would have the strength of the Lord to stand in the midst of the present crisis and to know and trust and believe that you are there and that you care and that you're walking with us through the fire, through the water, and you're going to bring us out victorious on the other side. Can I ask you to stand with me for a few moments this morning and just to consider your own circumstances right now and maybe some things that you're going through. Maybe everything's great in your life today, and praise God for that. Those are good times, amen, when things are going good and the Lord is blessing. That's awesome. But listen, you know, thank you, Lord. Sometimes when things are going bad, we think maybe God has forgotten about us. But let's guard our own hearts. And when things are going good, let's don't forget about Him. Just as you expect God to be there in the bad times and to remember you in the difficult times, let's remember God in the good times and be there for Him when things are going our way. And maybe things are going your way today, and praise God for that. But maybe there's a trial happening in your life today. Maybe something unexpectedly has come up. The enemy has brought some form of an attack against your life, spiritually, emotionally, maybe even physically. Maybe there's great stress or anxiety. Maybe there's worry or fear that's trying to come into your life because of present circumstances. Maybe you're worried about how the needs are going to be met, how the bills are going to be paid. Maybe you're worried about your family, your children, your marriage. God cares. God sees. God has not forgotten. God has a plan. I want to ask you to let me do a favor for you, if I might, as we bring our service to a close and we stay in an attitude of prayer for just another moment. If there's something going on in your life that's stressing you, worrying you, aggravating, tormenting you, if there's a thorn in your flesh today, can I pray for you today for the grace of the Lord to be sufficient to meet that need and to help you overcome in that area of your life? I want to ask you, if you're facing an obstacle today, a persecution, test, trial, something that's got you down, beating you up, worrying you, stressing you out, I want you to raise your hand this morning and let me pray for you. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. 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 Father, you see these precious people here today. And I am so thankful, Father, that you love each and every one of them. Individually, you love them, God, and you care about them. And Father, you know what their present need is. And I believe you're already at work to bring about a positive result that will be a blessing to them and bring glory and honor to you. And I pray for every one of my brothers and sisters here this morning, Lord, that raised their hand in need of this prayer. And I pray, Father, for a grace that is sufficient to meet the need in their lives in this hour. God, as they humble themselves before you and acknowledge their need of you, I pray, Father, you would give them strength to stand firm and quick, to stand unwavering, And Lord, having done all to stand, may they see the salvation of the Lord. I believe, Father, your desire is to come and to save them from their present distress, and in the process to bring glory and honor to your name. And so I pray to that end. Lord, your word says, your eyes roam throughout the earth looking for people to show yourself strong to. And Lord, here we stand before you today and we say, God, here we are. And we need the touch of heaven on our life today. We believe, God, there's nothing impossible for you, nothing too difficult for you. And Lord, though we don't understand how, in what way you're going to answer this problem and resolve this issue, we believe you're good, we believe you care, and we believe you will. And for that, Father, we give you praise today. We give you thanks in Jesus' name. I'm just going to ask you if you would do this. I want you to remember this service today. When you leave this room today and you go out into the world and back to your homes, into your businesses and jobs and things in this week, and these thoughts come to you again and these problems begin to press in on your mind again, I want you to remember this message today. And I want you to remember, no matter what you're going through, God cares about you. He has a plan. He has a greater grace. And He has victory that He desires for you. I want you to think about spiritual things and not earthly things. I want you to remember God. And then when God resolves this issue, I want you to remember to give glory to God. Give us a call. Send us an email. Post on Facebook. Let us know what God has done in your life. And give testimony to the Lord of His goodness and His grace in your life. And so, Father, we expect to hear good news. We expect good things from your good hand as you reach out and touch the lives of your children and bless them for your glory and meet their needs out of your loving care and compassion. Thank you, Father, for the privilege of sharing the word of the Lord today and encouraging all of us to remain faithful to you with a great expectation of seeing the provision of the Lord. And now, Father, I commit these people into your hand. I ask you, Lord, to take care of them, to watch over them and keep them. Bless them with peace and joy. Bless them with wisdom and strength. Bless them with the knowledge of your will and the knowledge of your Son, Jesus. I thank you for it. Amen. Let's sing together. We're dismissed this morning, and if you have need of other personal issues that you would like for us to pray with you about, if you'll stick around after the service this morning, we'll pray specifically for those needs in your life, all right? Let's sing together as we're dismissed this morning. Help me out. In your presence, there is peace. In your presence, there is joy. I will stay in your presence day by day, till your likeness may be seen in me. Amen. God bless you. Thanks for being with us today. Have a great day and a great week in the Lord. Let us know how we can serve you in this week ahead.